For tonight, we are going through the series of New Testament Essentials, and tonight it's about the church, the body of Christ. This is one of the passages we're going to read, not the only passage we're going to read. I'll make reference to this passage, but we'll have to go to other parts of the New Testament as we go through very briefly. I have two pages here through this theme, the church, the body of Christ. Our purpose tonight, as I said, is not go thoroughly through all the biblical teaching about the church. That would have to include a big chunk of the Old Testament and much, much more extensive material than what we intend to do here. There are many metaphors in the New Testament that help us understand what church is, what it does, and how God sees us as his church. The passage we read mentions at least three metaphors here. You have the metaphor of the temple or a building. You have the metaphor here of the household, not the structure, the physical structure, but those who live in it, in whichever hierarchy or rank system you have in that household. And you have, of course, the body. In chapter 3, there seems to appear the unifying point about those different images, and that unifying point is the theme of unity. Could someone read again verse number 6 in chapter 3? Regardless of your background, regardless of your starting point, regardless of your ethnic group, if you are in Christ, you are in one and the same group. You are united with the others, no matter where they are coming from. In Christ, you have your point of unity. Because you are the same building, you are members of the same household, and of course, you are one and the same body of Christ. We know that Paul had mentioned body before in Ephesians. Could someone read for me Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22? So Christ has been given all dominion. He's the head of creation. He's the head of the entire universe. He is the ruler of everything. He has been given all authority. That's Matthew 28 for you. And the authority hasn't been taken away. It's his. He is the head of the church, and the church is his body. Whereas unity is implied there, because that passage is more about the supremacy of Christ rather than the unity of the church, even though it's implied there, because it's one single body, the body of Christ. Paul is quite explicit about it in chapter 4, verses 1 to verse 6. Could someone else read that for us, please? So the point of unity is quite clear here in verse 3. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that is just one Lord, one baptism, one faith. You are called by Jesus Christ to be this one single people of God here on earth. So I think it's fair to say that when we talk about church as the body of Christ, there's a strong emphasis on unity. At least that's the case when you read Ephesians. Why is Paul making this point, using these references in particular about the body of Christ? Christ above us all, we all under the headship of Christ, and a reminder that regardless of whether you are Gentile or whether you are of a Jewish background, in Christ, you have been put and brought together into one and the same body, and this body is the church. The church is not a body of itself. The church is a body that belongs to Christ. According to the author that I'm loosely basing now the studies for the evening, her name is Robbie Fox Castleman. According to her, the problem that occupies Paul in this letter to the Ephesians is their struggle with racism. Jewish believers and Gentile believers had so little in common apart from faith in the saving work of Christ. The Ephesian believers found it much simpler to have congregations isolated from each other, denying their need for the other, and both were on the brink of thinking they could bifurcate the headship of Christ Jesus over two bodies of believers. And I find it hard to argue against her the more I read Paul's emphasis to unity again and again and again when he writes the Ephesians. And Ephesians and Romans are two letters that don't seem to have a problem background for Paul to have written them. But when you see Paul again and again and again hammering down the theme of unity throughout the whole of the letter to the Ephesians, then you have to start to ask the question, why is he so insistent on this particular aspect of Christian living? And chapter 2 and chapter 3, the big chunk that we read at the beginning, shows it very clearly. The mystery of the gospel is no longer two people, but just one and the same people of God. In those days, the church and the city would have, you know, various cells scattered around the big city, or house churches, as they were called. In the 1980s and 1990s, there was an American church growth, big name, Peter Wagner. And he was of the opinion that in order for a church to grow, you have to focus on a particular demographic and explore there as much as you can. So, but what will that generate is, you know, a church for, you know, colored people, a church for white people, a church for middle class people, a church for deprived areas, a church for all, and you can multiply the segments as, you know, as many times as you think it is necessary. Although I can see the logic of that and how we are prone and inclined to gather together to those with whom we have, you know, more, you know, affinity, that goes against biblical theology of the church, because the body of Christ welcomes everyone. So a sign of a healthy church is not how homogeneous it is, but actually how diverse it can be, respecting the general demographics of the place. So we have to ask ourselves if as a church we are a fair representation of Broughty Ferry, for example, allowing for Brazilians, South Koreans, English, Irish to actually join in with any barrier whatsoever, or whichever other nationality or cultural background. And the point being here in the passage is why? Because the body of Christ is just this one organism that gathers together people from all over the place under the headship, the leadership, as well protection, salvation, authority of Jesus Christ. As we go through other passages, the body metaphor continues to emphasize unity without stifling diversity. Now we have to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We have to move back. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and verses 12 to verse 14. So you see the two here working together and without any conflict or tension. It is one body, and yet it's one body that allows for diversity. And that's an important thing for us to remember about what God tells us what the church is. In the same letter to the Corinthians, Paul sees this unity so strong that he warns some of the believers about sexual immorality and the implications of that to the unified body of Christ in chapter 6, verses 15 to verse 20. Could someone else read that for me? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15 to verse 20. So the fact that we are members of one another and therefore we are the body of Christ, the implication Paul is making here is when someone goes and practices sexual immorality, he is actually dragging the whole body of Christ into it. It's a serious thing, and it's a powerful thing, and that's how strong is the bond between those who are under the salvation and who believe in Jesus Christ. And actually, the theme of the body is quite interesting in 1 Corinthians. And there is an example of themes that I tried to highlight back in 2011. I was supposed actually to have written a dissertation on that, but I decided to go for a postgraduate degree then, so never became a master. So from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 all the way to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in my opinion, I think it's possible to identify three, you know, not because it's a sermon, but three interesting themes connected to this main theme, the body of Christ. You have the ecclesiological body, meaning the body of the church, and how Paul will talk about the unity, about the ministry, and about the holiness of the body of Christ. And we've just read some examples here. Then you have the sacramental body of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 11 in particular. That's where he talks about the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Communion, and all the issues involving in this guiding theme, which is the body of Christ. Christ as the source, head, and foundation of the church, and how we share in that when we remember breaking the bread and drinking the wine. And of course, there is, I know, all big words, but bear with me. The eschatological body, meaning the body for the end times, which is the resurrection body in 1 Corinthians 15. It's a whole chapter about the resurrection of Christ, as well as about our resurrection and victory based on Christ's victory over death, resurrection, and eternal life. And you see this theme appearing again and again and again throughout chapter 6 all the way to chapter 15. And I have here my summary, but I'm not going to read that for you, okay? So, I could say more about the church as the body of Christ. Paul is the one who majors on the theme. I try to highlight two important issues here. One is issue of, two important things. One is the issue of unity, and the second is the issue of diversity. Okay? God is respecting the diversity of the church. We have young and old. We have, well, in those days, there were slaves and free. You'd have Jews and Gentiles. And so there's a diversity in the church. There's a diversity of gifts, a diversity of ministry that you see in Paul's letters to the Romans, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Corinthians. There is a diversity of work to be done. But it's all based on this strong sense of belonging to one another because we are all connected to the one and the same head of our salvation, Jesus Christ. And I'll stop here. And if you have questions or comments, please.